fact, every time I come on, I suspect it's a straw in the wind. Have you ever had a feeling that you're hitting fly balls with balsa wood baseballs into a howling gale? And the pillows are raining feathers on each individual. Oh, by the way, speaking of straws in the wind, this is a straw in the wind evening. There are many straws in the wind, and we'd like to take a look at what's happening in existence today. Are you feeling stronger these days or weaker? I mean, you know, stronger. Well, that's a dangerous feeling. And many a guy who's felt strong has gotten one right below the left eye. Just at the moment he felt his strongest. You agree, Herb? So you got to be careful of that. Do you feel more, let's say, more omniscient today than you ever did? Or do you feel less omniscient? I mean, you know, wouldn't it be something if a pollster actually asked real questions instead of, do you approve of Murchison for Congress? If so, why? If, you know, the guy came up and he says, this is a Harris poll, and we're trying to get the pulse of the nation, and of course your name will not be used in this, but we hope that you will be utterly truthful. Oh, you say, yeah, okay. All right, here's our first question. Are you more or are you less Bud today than you usually are? Say, what was that? So are you more or are you less Bud today than you usually are? So, well, it depends on how you mean it. I mean, you know, being bugged is a very personal thing. Actually, I'll tell you, I had an unbelievable date last night, and it was just a bummer of the worst order. Yes, I'm more bugged today than I usually am. Yes, put me down for that. Yes, more bugged.
Very good, thank you. Next question now. Do you today feel more or less omniscient than you have in the past?
Well, omniscient, let's see. What do you mean by omniscient? Omniscient, I guess you mean the ability to see through walls and leap over buildings and to come to unbelievably great conclusions and to know everything. Is that what you mean?
Yes, roughly that is the definition of omniscient, yes.
Well, now that you ask it, yeah, I do. I'll tell you, I'm coming to the point where my full powers are being... coming into play, Mr. Harris. My full powers are coming in, and I am feeling more omniscient. Yes, I can see through almost anything these days. Them phonies try to lay that stuff on me, and they can't fool me. Why the other day I'm watching this commercial on television, and it shows these two ladies that are trying out these towels, you know, and one towel falls apart in their hand, and the other one, you know, they put cups on top of it. You don't think I'd believe that, do you?
All right, I'll put you down as more omniscient. That's a very shrewd insight, Mr. X. One more question. Do you believe that you're going to hell or you're going to heaven when you finally shuffle off this mortal coil?
Well, that's a... If I may coin a phrase, that's a hell of a question. Kind of funny, wasn't it? Well, actually, you're supposing then in that point that I'm going to shuffle off this mortal coil. I mean, you know, you're making an assumption like I'm going to die one day.
Well, Mr. Just a moment, I'm making a notation here. Subject seems to believe in... immortality.
May I ask you a question then about that? Do you believe that you're going to last forever? That there always will be a Charles Wesley Bullard? Did you believe this? I mean, you know, for 1,000 years, 10,000, 5,000, 2,000, 100,000 years, there'll still be you walking around. Well, you put it that way, I don't think there'll be nobody walking around 100,000 years from now. I just don't think there'll be nobody.
All right. An interviewer claims end of world is approaching. I see.
Well, thank you very much. Those were very interesting answers to the question. And I would certainly say that you're right there in the mean. You're right there with the rest of your fellow citizens. And by the way, that's a great feeling that I think we all love to have, is that we're right down the mainstream. Now, most people pretend they would love to be kind of individuals, yeah. Independent.
independent thinkers. Let me say this, friend. Any independent thinker I have ever known spends most of his time being chased out of town. Or at least chased out of his own crowd. I mean, you know, it's difficult to turn on your own crowd. Oh, come on, what do you mean? That's a cockamamie idea. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, it's a cockamamie idea. It's very difficult to get to the basis of what you believe in. For example, you, on the one hand, you say to yourself, I hate commercials. Everybody says this. On the other hand, you somehow dig the lady plumber. And you somehow dig, but especially you kind of enjoy the Jolly Green Giant who lives in that valley. And hands down peas and onions in a delicious buttery sauce to the little people who live in that happy little valley. Now, is that a commercial or is it a concept? Speaking of commercials.
That's a nifty new car. How much? Oh, super. Including tinted glass? Oh, with disc brakes? White walls? Reclining bucket? How about an electric car?
Don't let a lowball sticker price fool you. The true cost of a new car is the price the way you want it, not stripped. The Datsun 710 comes with all those extra standards, things other cars charge extra for. Plus, full carpeting, electric rear window defogger, full wheel covers, and lots more. And don't forget Datsun's great gas mileage, low maintenance, and high resale value. Take a test drive in a Datsun 710 two-door sedan, four-door sedan, hardtop, or the new five-door wagon soon. When you compare costs, true costs, you'll see that Datsun really does save.
Yeah, get to know what the true cost of a Datsun is. It's kind of interesting. Go to see one of the 56 Datsun dealers in the New York, New Jersey, or the Fairfield County area. The true cost. How can you ever figure that? That can actually be your soul you're talking about. True cost. Be careful. You never thought of it that. You know, speaking of the Harris poll going out and asking actual questions like that, can't you imagine the results of the poll appearing in the Post? It says, Harris poll finds that 67.9% of the people believe they're going to hell, which means that 19.7% of the people feel that they're on their way to paradise. 6% were undecided. 3% refused to give an opinion. You know, 18.7% of the people believe they're more omniscient today than they were yesterday. Are you or are you not more nervous than you used to be? How's that for a great question? Do you feel the urge to kill your fellow citizen more today than you used to? Now, how are you going to answer? That would be the kind of question that would really get right down to where the living ain't easy, and it is not summertime, and the birds are not singing, and the fish ain't biting. But if you do ask questions like that, do you ever pinpoint your own thoughts of things like that? I mean, you know, you're walking along and you find yourself saying. Have you ever found yourself saying something, and as you say it, there's another voice behind you saying, "Are you kidding? Come on, what kind of claptrap is that? You don't, come on, Charlie. Why don't you?" You're saying, "This happens many times in elegant restaurants. For example, you go to a restaurant, you know, and Luigi comes over with the menu, and you can always tell." The more elegant the restaurant, the bigger the menu, you know, to a great big one. Some of them come now roughly the size of old barn doors, you know, a great big restaurant menu with a gold leaf all over it. And be careful of any restaurant that they write the menu in purple ink in French. They're going to shuck you like an ear of corn, I'm telling you. But nonetheless, you sit there and you order something, and it comes. And you know it's $8.70. For starters, and that doesn't include Luigi's tip and all the rest of the stuff. Do you ever admit that it's not any good? Or are you always thrown with the problem of people around you
constantly complaining about something when you feel as if you shouldn't complain? No, well, really, it's difficult to know what you think. I mean, have you ever thought about your mind? You know that there's a concept that the human memory is like a... And that's part of your mind. You see, if you can't remember the last time you fell down the stairs, you tend to be careless about walking downstairs. You see that logic? In other words, if you had a self-erasing thing in your head, like your mind was some kind of a tape recorder, and you could erase all of the bad news I mean that you've ever had in your life, how would you be? Would you, on the other hand, can you imagine if somebody came up to you and really asked you this question? You really think you're an intelligent person, right? And you say, yeah. I've never heard anybody say, no, I'm not. I'm really one of them dummies, you know. Everybody believes he's intelligent. Everybody, by the way, everybody in the world believes he's got a sense of humor. I have never once heard somebody say in the elevator, Charles, my problem, of course, is that I'm totally humorless. No way. Everyone believes he's got a sense of humor. So if a question were proposed to you, somebody came up to you and said, look, you believe you're an intelligent person and you have a very good education. You have studied hard and you got a B+ in Latin, correct? Yes. I don't like to brag, but God, I was pretty good with them gerunds. Hi, Coke. I remember that. Who is? Yeah, very good. Now, you're a very intelligent person, and you arrive at all your decisions by intelligent consideration of the facts. Is that correct? Why? Of course. I'm not like a lot of people. I don't vote... emotionally, I consider the qualities of the candidate. I consider his arguments, and I consider very seriously what this means in the total ramification factor. The total ramification factor regarding the community as a whole. That's the way I vote. I simply just don't vote by slogans. I don't believe in slogans. You know, I just don't. Okay. Everybody believes this. I've never heard a guy say, hey, you know one thing about me? I sure buy slogans. I like a good slogan. That's what I like. A good slogan. Let's see. A penny saved is a penny earned. That's a good one. I like that. You never... nothing ventured, nothing gained. That's a good one. It's a good one. Did you see them lining up in front of the bank on 48th Street the other day to get free gifts? Put your money in the bank. Did you see that? Where do you guys live? Don't you see your life, your time? I mean, somehow the idea of lining up before the bank to get a free gift has certain overtones. I'm not yet prepared to analyze it, but it has certain overtones. I love the word overtones. See, it means that there's more to that than meets the eye. Actually, it was just a bunch of people wanted to get a free toaster. This is WOR New York, speaking of free toasters. But while you're on the subject of the mind and the way yours works, here's a question. You know, one of the great things about being in college is the fact that people sit around and argue about things like this. I have never heard the sales department argue about whether they're going to heaven or hell. And yet those same guys, you know, a couple of years before when they were in places like Dartmouth, would spend endless hours arguing about, hey, Charlie, have you ever thought what the meaning of it all is? What does it all mean? I mean, after all, what are we here for? You know, this is a great argument that goes on in college dorms. Do you ever remember when you were a little kid and you'd lay on the daybed and you'd look up at the ceiling and all of a sudden it would hit you? You'd have this great insight and it would say, you know, they talk about space, right? Space. Well, there's got to be something beyond space. You remember thinking these things? Well, do you ever think of them now? Or are you just worrying about getting a parking place? I mean, that's another concept of space, of course. the infinite variables. But while we're on the subject of this whole issue, can you imagine somebody coming up to you and saying, right now, he says to you, just the way you are, this minute, that this scientist working for IBM has invented this unbelievable machine, this fantastic machine. You know, they can do anything with miniaturization, right? But that's one of the key words of today. That's like a magic word. Miniaturization is the same, say, as the universal solvent was to the alchemists. You know what the universal solvent was, don't you? You don't. You mean you don't know these philosophical concepts? Well, all right, I'll tell you what the universal solvent is. It sounds like Shepard's getting ready to sell a new detergent, right? God, oh, what a detergent. Before we go any further, please.
Today we're in the Barnes & Noble bookstore where you'll find, among other things, a vast resource of how to get things done around the house books.
How to build your own patio. I think I'll buy this book for George. Maybe he'll take the hint.
So who needs an electrician, I said? All it takes is a little common sense and the right book.
Getting things done around the house is a lot easier when you have the right book. And Barnes & Noble is a pretty good bet to have just the book you need. Whether you want to repair a TV, build a fence, refinish a table, or remodel a bathroom, we've got a book that can help you do it. And Barnes & Noble is also Green Thumb headquarters with a huge selection of gardening books. You'll find all this and more when you come to the Barnes & Noble bookstore at 5th Avenue and 18th Street in Manhattan, the country's biggest bookstore of any kind, and probably the most interesting.
I knew the gardening book was my idea, but now he's growing mushrooms in the basement.
Barnes & Noble, and you thought we only sold textbooks.
Oh, very good. No, I didn't think we only sold textbooks. That's making an assumption. I never thought about Barnes & Noble, to be honest with you. Shucks, there it is, displaying my ignorance again. I suppose all those listener types out there say, what a stupid guy he is. Why anybody that's got any sense always thought Barnes & Noble only sold textbooks? Well, now we've just had a report from one of our listeners that she leaves all philosophical discussions to philosophy majors. Her major is English. Let's face one thing. English is the name of a language. You ever thought of it in those terms? It's also the name of a nationality, not a race, a nationality. Okay. We study English. Now, is English a tool or an end? It's an end. I suppose to an English major it is. Okay, so now we've come to that conclusion. English is an end. There is a thing called pure English that says nothing but is magnificent English. Yes, I've read several of those. I can name at least three writers who use the language like a vast Wurlitzer organ in an ancient cathedral, but nothing comes out except a lot of loud, beautiful, lovely notes, and soft, subtle, lovely notes, but ultimately nothing is said. In short, the English can become a cosmic system of weaving cosmic doilies. And I've never found the real use for a doily. Have you heard? I don't want to offend the pro-doily crowd out there, who obviously there must be nice ladies that make doilies. But yes, I had an Aunt Clara whose art form was the doily. And you'd come to her house, and there were doilies on everything. You know, you'd sit down in a chair, and there's doilies all over it. You know, that's a great word, by the way, doily. I mean, I can think of an endless number of terrible puns, like Charlie was pulling a doily cart. You don't get it? You don't get it. Oh, well, see, there you go. The English major doesn't get it. Don't you know who doily cart was? Well, you know who Gilbert and Sullivan was. Ah, yes. Being an English major, you certainly should. Indeed. Well, doily cart was the company that produced the Gilbert and Sullivan operas. How's that for erudition? That's basic knowledge. But what would happen if seriously, though, now let's assume that we have so specialized our heads now that we do not consider contemplation of, let's say, areas that we do not specialize in. And so if, let's say, for example, a philosophy major then must be concerned with such cosmic issues as life and death. Is that correct? Is there a philosophy? Yes, there's a philosophy major, and we're getting the report now from the philosophy department. Now, life and death is not then a thing that you should consider yourself with since you are an accounting major. Is that correct? Or an English major? Well, my suggestion to anybody out there who may be confused a bit as to what I'm trying to say is that all education is philosophy. Boo! The English major says no. Boo, boo! Well, I'm sorry, you'd have to go back to the original definition of what the word philosophy means then. If philosophy, and I'm afraid this is what it's become in many ways, has become a study that has no relationship to life in itself and is like stamp collecting. It's a study. Philosophy is not a thing that deals with whether or not you're going to shoot your neighbor or whether or not you're going to burn down Iowa. Philosophy has to do with study and getting a proper number of credits. It has to do with a thing which is said in caps, concepts. And another thing, schools of thought. Those are very important. And I keep seeing these schools of thought like large groups of shiner minnows moving around in a vast pond, all going in their own direction. And nobody stops to think that way down on the bottom of the lily pads is a big turtle that doesn't give a damn about what school the minnow's from. He's just sucking them up. So when you get into this concept, you know, you could sit here for hours and debate. Now, I would like to ask you a question, if I may. Give me a little philosophical music there, Herb. Deep. And so tonight, as part of our vast public service programming, this deeply concerned media outlet takes great pride and great pleasure in saluting man's eternal hunt for the meaning of it all. Now, it's not often that you hear a major radio station salute the hunt for the meaning of true existence. And we're taking this opportunity to put out a one-minute spot on behalf of the hunt for true existence. Yes, join the great crusade, MFTH, the hunt for true existence. Send your name and address to this station for a booklet, 7 colorful pages profusely illustrated on the excitement of the hunt. Subtitle, Existence and How to Get More Out of It. 7 easy-to-understand rules. With a foreword written by Godfrey Cambridge, one of the great philosophers of our time. So let's all sing together again. Oh, yeah, hooray for Jane Austen, I say. And I say ever forward, ever upward and ever onward with Schopenhauer. And don't forget Immanuel Kant, down there in his little rowboat, rowing like crazy. And then, of course, there's Nietzsche. And one certainly cannot forget more divergent forms, basically, totally involving philosophy. The Marquis de Sade, for example, an offshoot. Philosophy, but we need to begin. It ain't nothing like advanced romance.
romantic languages. I love accounting, business English. I love the Punic Wars. I love the War of Roses. I love the Whiskey Rebellion. I love the era of good feeling, too. Old education is the real thing to eat up and lap it up like a honeybee in the band. Bop, 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 bop.
Yeah, sing it out. Come on, sing it for your favorite subject. Trigonometry, algebra, differential equations, calculus.
Bop, 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 bop. Nothing like the parts of speech. Bop, 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 bop.
Give me an advert. Give me a gerund. Give me a jungle connecting verb. Bop, 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 bop. I'm as happy as a clam. Lying down there underneath the water. Just laying there, digging all the way that line. Yeah.
Substitute for talent. And of course, if you got it, you got it. If you got it, you got it. Now, sing together, gang. Sing our anthem out clear and loud. Someday you'll own. Someday you'll own. Sooner or later, you'll own generals. Can't you hear Robert Goulet singing that? Whether you drive a sports car, a sedan, compact, scooter, or teeter-totter, General Tire has the tires that you need at prices you can afford, even poor old scrounging you. Choose from steel-belted tires, glass-belted original equipment tires, with wide-raised white-letter tires. Oh, they're fantastic. So you'll see why people love these soft, round, beautiful tires. They're Generals. Drop in and find out in Plainfield. See the boys at Plainfield Service. Yeah, and remember the song. Sooner or later, you'll own Generals.
Even with inflation, Italy still gives you the one thing every vacationer wants for his money. More. Take restaurants, for example. There's one in Rome called Ambasciata d'Abruzzo. Their 12-course feast of ham, sausages, antipasto, pasta, roasts, salad, cheese, fruit, coffee, cake, wine, and sambuca used to cost $5. Now, with inflation, it's all the way up to $6. Or you can eat where Hemingway ate, at the Piccolo Padre in Milan. Before inflation, its 22-course meal was $8. Today, it's $10, including all the wine you can drink. Alitalia has almost 50 different tours of Italy, and only Alitalia flies exclusively 747s from New York to Rome and Milan. What's more, there isn't a scheduled airline in the world that can beat our new low fares to Italy. For free assistance, call an expert, your travel agent, or call Alitalia and come to Alitalia's Italy, where you get all you ever dreamed of and more.
Alitalia, Trebbiano, I'll tell you. I mean, what more elegant than Ella? I suspect now that this is probably the most logical time to sell you an Alfa Romeo. This is Tre Elegant. This is an elegant little machine, of course. Have you ever thought of the automobile as an extension of not your sexual desires or your desire to move across the world at a rapid rate, but your ego itself. I mean, the real way you think of yourself. You know that there are some people who really get mad if other people like them? Because it shows how ignorant those other people are. Anybody with any sense would know what kind of a klutz you are. I mean, this is all deep down inside your head. So you tend to buy real klutzy-looking things. You surround yourself with them. And, you know, you see people who deliberately search out the most ugly clothes. And they don't know it. You know, say, oh, well, I like a burlap skirt that's 17 feet across the bottom and has pockets for the ashes. You know, sackcloth and ashes. I like that. That's kind of nice. ugliness, thy name is vanity.
There is a legend in Italy that goes like this. The legend is an Alfa Romeo. From the factory that believed great racing machines could produce great road machines, like the Alfa Romeo GT Veloce Coupe. A true Gran Turismo, with the initials GT built in, not pasted on, with body by Bertone and soul by Alfa Romeo. A GT machine with double overhead cam aluminum engine and fuel-saving injection system. A GT machine with precision handling only racing could refine. With four-wheel disc brakes, race-proven suspension, and wide torque range engine. Test drive the GT Veloce Coupe. You're not driving a car, you're driving a legend for under $7,000.
Not a lot, Jay. I mean, somehow I always have the image in my mind of Sophia Loren hurtling through a peasant village in a blood-red Alfa Romeo with her hair streaming up. Oh. let's get back to the mundane. By the way, how many of you know that we all know various schools of philosophy, of course, the Nietzschean and the Kantians and all that, but how many of you know that the word mundane is from an actual person who discovered the beauty of mundanity? Did you know that the word mundane refers to a person? You didn't know that. You've never heard of Johannes Mundane, which he's a German philosopher of the late 16th century. It was later anglicized into Joe Mundane or Joseph Mundane. And he invented the whole concept of the belief. Almost anything in the mind is capable of believing is the ultimate good. You understand that? And he believed that that ordinary boredom was the ultimate good of mankind. And he created a whole edifice on that. It was called mundanity or mundanity. So we're getting back to the mundane here. So this could be considered one of the more beautiful parts of the show. The food warehouse in Long Island City, that's out in Queens, constantly causes a stir in the food industry because of the unique way they sell food at fantastic savings to the consumer. Well, listen to this, it says. A second food warehouse has opened in Carl Place, Long Island, the greatest opening in the history of the food business. Behind Macy's Furniture Warehouse on Glen Cove Road, 44,000 square feet of food. What a picture in my mind. You can't buy. You can buy it at unbelievable savings. Don't miss the greatest savings on food at the food warehouse, Glen Cove Road, in colorful Queens, directly behind the lovely Macy's Furniture Warehouse. The Taj Mahal of the Scroungers. Let's see here. hey, by the way, speaking of humor, I don't know whether it was deliberate or not, but there was a movie last night about a guy that was running for politics. He was running for Congress, see? And boy, was he a tin-plated phony. I mean, all the way down the line, you know, they're working their way. Did you see it? Okay, did you notice that immediately after he went off, two political spots came on for local candidates? And it looked exactly like the stuff that he was talking about in the film. May I use the correct word, film? I don't like to go against the grain of our time. Or do you prefer cinema? Or do you prefer erotic film to dirty picture? Which do you like? You like dirty picture, right. Well, that's what the boys at the Legion Hall used to say. In order to get them in the wagon, you have to learn to give an elegant phrase to your more base drives and desires. One cannot simply say, hey, I like them pictures. No way. You must say, you know, that's magnificent composition. And the lighting. I like the textural values, too. That's an important phrase, textural values. Don't forget that one. You can use that on almost anything. I mean, even eating Jell-O, you can say, oh, elegant textural value. And you've said nothing. But then again, you've not offended the pro-Jell-O forces that you may be surrounded with. And they're always with you. And so, before we go any further, time for the following political announcement was paid for by the Robert Abrams from Attorney General Committee, Inc., Incorporated.
Can you tell what I'm pouring? You probably can't. And you probably didn't notice the water that was diluting the milk millions of New Yorkers were drinking for more than 5 years. But you know something? New York State Attorney General Louis Lefkowitz did learn about it. But for almost a year, he didn't take any criminal action against the companies that did it, even though that's his job. Now, we can't say why Louis Lefkowitz was so slow in taking action, but we do know that the New York Times, in an editorial called Tainted Milk, said, New Yorkers will hope that the tardy announcement by State Attorney General Louis J. Lefkowitz that he really is looking into possible criminal action in connection with a massive five-year milk fraud is not just a pre-election cover-up of what had seemed a gross breach of official responsibility. That's what the New York Times said. That's why we need a new Attorney General.
Paid for by the Robert Abrams for Attorney General Committee, Incorporated.
Yes, time for the following political announcement was paid for by the Roust Out Them Rotten Rascals crowd committee. you know, I love the idea. I wish I were a really dedicated rascal. I really do. Now, I'm not denying that there are rascals. Not at all. I'm merely saying that I would love to join the ranks of the rascals. Just once. You know, I've always heard of artists talking about selling out. How many times have you heard this? You know, I'm never going to sell out. Ever. By God, I'm not going to sell out. The problem is that most people who say that have never been asked. They've never been given a decent offer. It's when the offers come that you start selling out. And of course, then you're not selling out. I am merely looking for a wider stage upon which to... So, you know, selling out is not an easy thing to avoid. Wouldn't you love to sell out? Can you imagine opening up an office here on 47th Street, and you could call it Sellout Inc., and it's where people come to sell out. You know, this young ad executive who was starry-eyed, and for years he fought against what they were trying to do to his pickle account at that rotten, crummy agency. He was trying to bring poetry to pickle commercials. And truth and veracity and beauty, and instead they always wanted to talk about that crispy, crunchy flavor. And so he goes down to the sellout company, and you have to fill out a form. Of course, you know, you understand that selling out isn't just a simple process. It's what Dr. Faustus did. Realize that. You better explain that to your English major. Goethe was not English, by the way. You know about him? How come you know about him? You're an English major. Goethe was not English. No way. You mean Dr. Faustus was English, however? But Goethe was... I see. Very interesting. Well, Faustus... I don't know. That might be an English name. I'm not sure. But what was the name of the girl in the case? We know about Dr. Faustus. How about this that lady that was the cause of all of his downfall? Now, you can't blame Mephistopheles for it. It wasn't Mephistopheles. Because, after all, Mephistopheles' whole point in life is to get people to sell out, right? And so you cannot blame him when he succeeds. That's his whole reason for being, raison d'etre, right? So who caused him to sell out? Was it a flaw in his soul? Ah, there we go. We are all guilty. We let Dr. Faustus down. That brings up another point here. We have another political commercial. Speaking of Dr. Faustus, time for the following political announcement was paid for by the Friends of Friends of the Governor Wilson team.
Elect Governor Wilson, Governor. Paid for by the Friends of the Governor Wilson team. New York Jets play host to the Los Angeles Rams Sunday afternoon. This is Dave Herman. You can hear all the live action over WOR Radio beginning at 12:35, brought to you in part by Rheingold Extra Dry Beer. You'll like what you get from a Rheingold.
Oh, well, that's a fun voice. Hey, listen, you know, I mean, all is said and done. You don't think for a minute that we all sit here and try to consider eternal concepts and verities. Verities. No way. I would like to take this opportunity. Would you please, Herb, please, give me my salute to the only true thing I've heard in years. Please. I would like to salute Walter Cornelius. And you don't know who he is, but you should know. He lives in Peterborough, England. Walter Cornelius has applied for 20 strong men to help pull back a mammoth slingshot. That's a rubber band slingshot, an enormous one, which he hopes will catapult him across the River Nen next month. Shot out of a slingshot. He said for this occasion he would wear the same pair of wings with which he failed to fly across the 56-yard wide river in 1970. But by God, Walter's coming back with a bigger slingshot. Now there's an existential concept. To be shot out of an enormous cosmic slingshot across a historic river, a river that Shakespeare himself floated down while writing some of his better sonnets. I mean, you can put it all together there, you see. You can see life as one vast kaleidoscopic melange of badly, almost totally overexposed Kodachrome slides that keep, that's it, bring it up. There you go. You see how it goes? You just start getting to the nub of it. You just start getting right down. Your mind starts to grasp what the meaning of it all is, and damn it, it's too late. Too late. I suspect that the most, probably the saddest last words ever to be spoken by the tongue of man was spoken by a man who died in Belgium 17 years ago. His last words were recorded. They simply were, on the other hand, and he was gone. Now, you understand the meaning of that, don't you, or don't you? Oh, come on, meathead. Will you stop eating all the food on the table and start thinking for once? For crying out loud, get your head out of that damn TV guide and start thinking about life and all that things. I think you may be having trouble with your horizontal amplifier. That could be it. You think so? Well, you know, those tubes get weak in time. That's the way it goes. That's why you're getting that flip-flop in your mind. We're getting to lose a little good drive here in the final, huh? Watch out for them overload relays any minute now. Don't push it, friend. Yeah. This is WOR New York. Now you stay tuned for In Conversation.